80-year-old Jackie Young spent much of his life wondering, did any of his birth family live through the Holocaust? And why did he, an orphaned infant, survive the Terezin concentration camp when 9,000 other children were sent for extermination? Horrible thoughts to carry around, and there were more. Jackie also feared his dad was a Nazi guard, and maybe that's why he, Jackie, was kept safe for 3 years at the camp. After all, his mother was listed as unmarried when she was murdered at a different camp in Belarus. Jackie Young was adopted after the war by a Jewish family in London. He got married, lived a good life, but that sense of not knowing never left him. Until last summer, when a BBC team used his DNA to prove his father wasn't a Nazi, and now other Holocaust survivors and their families are being offered the same opportunity to get information. As New York's Center for Jewish History launches its DNA Reunion Project, distributing free DNA kits and guidance to Holocaust survivors desperate for answers. What might that mean to them? Well, let's bring in Jackie Young. He's on Zoom from London. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you very much for letting me come into your radio show.
Well, we appreciate you being here. And Adina Newman joins us as well. She's long been a genealogist, helping people trace their ancestry, particularly people of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. And now she's joining forces with the Center for Jewish History, which has created the DNA Reunion Project. And she also, as we'll hear, helped Jackie find a family puzzle piece. Adina, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk more about the DNA Reunion Project.
Yeah. And Jackie, start with you. A toddler when adopted, did you have any memories of the camp?
I was born in 40, almost 2 weeks before 42. My birthday is in a couple of weeks' time. So, and at 9 months old, I went into Theresienstadt or Terezin. So I was just a little over three when I was liberated by the Russians in Theresienstadt. So I have no recollection whatsoever.
And even if you did, some people would want to divorce themselves from it, you know, something they couldn't do anything about. So just forget about it. Was that an option for you?
Not really, no. I think, you know, it's like I always point out that, you know, today, if you lost an iPhone or you lost your keys, you'd be in a state of shock. I lost a whole family up to only last year, not knowing. I thought I was absolutely on my own in this world. And losing a whole family, the fundamental thing of humanity, was very important to me.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you couldn't just forget about it. And you mean extended family, too. And along comes this BBC project. And they did find some of your cousins. They also told you the truth about your dad. What did they tell you? And what was that moment like?
That was an amazing revelation, because that was one part of the puzzle I had no knowledge of. My mother gave my birth certificate showing just to her and no father. So I really needed to know who my father was.
And when they told you that he was an Ashkenazi Jewish man, not a Nazi.
That was just wonderful. It was the icing on the cake. I just could not understand why I could survive in a horrible camp where so many children went straight to Auschwitz. I did not understand why would I be staying in the camp for 2 years, 8 months. And that's one of the hunches I came up with, that was it possible that he was a Nazi? But as we found out, I'm pleasant to know that he was a nice Jewish boy.
Yeah. This was your lineage.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, from the, what's it called, the papers, my mother was Elsa Spiegel. I was born in the Rothschild Hospital in Vienna. I mean, technically, I shouldn't really be here, because Vienna was supposed to be what was known as Judenfrei, which is Jewish-free. Just one of those things. I was just plumb lucky. I personally have also thought the camp was known as a propaganda camp, so I thought I was possibly part of the propaganda. The Red Cross came from time to time to the camp, and they may have opened the door and said, look, if we're killing people, we've got kids here, you know. So that's how I figured why I survived as well, possibly.
Yeah. Well, there's more to the story, and that now we bring back in Adina Newman. So Adina, tell us, you know, you have access to all of this information. Where did you get the information that you were working with prior to the current project at the Center for Jewish History that helped people find their families?
Right. So I am a genetic genealogist, which means I work with DNA and the typical paper records, you know, vital records, census records, to figure out people's biological families. And in Jackie's case, before any of this started, my colleague and I, Jennifer Mendelson, who helped found the DNA Reunion Project, were discussing how what we do should really be utilized for Holocaust survivors and their families, because the technology is exactly what they need to figure out, you know, their family, which paper records can't lead them to. Jackie's story was very compelling when we heard about it, and we wondered, could we take it further? Because they didn't give him a name of a biological father. So my partner and I, Jennifer Mendelson, immediately reached out to Jackie and asked him for access to his DNA results. He had tested on all of those major sites like Ancestry, 23andMe, MyHeritage. We started to build trees based on the matches, look at available records. And within days, we had a candidate for who we thought his biological father was.
Yeah.
And really, that was the quick part. Then we reached out to potential people to test to prove our hypothesis. When I say there was only a single individual in the United States who could meet that requirement, I am not exaggerating.
Wow.
I remember calling this gentleman and I said, you know, hello, this is an out of the blue phone call. I'm a professional genetic genealogist. We need you to take a test. And it was crickets. And my heart just sank. And then he says, oh, let me go outside. I have bad reception. so he goes outside. He immediately jumps on the opportunity to fill this gap for us. And he tests and we wait weeks for the results. And it really pointed to he's likely a first cousin once removed to Jackie, which is the one of the closest living relatives Jackie has on his paternal side. And that's really how this all started before we began with the Center for Jewish History.
Jackie, who is your dad? What was that like?
It was something that you could basically say blew me away. I mean, I was amazed. And after that, I got the actual tree on my father's side. And from having nobody, I've now got a family tree on the wall, which is amazing. And I feel that I'm surrounded, sadly, by, obviously a lot of them are dead, but I'm surrounded by family, which is very comforting for me.
And what more were you able to find out through some of them who are living, who he was and what he did?
Well, my father apparently was a tailor. Nice job for a Jewish boy, a tailor, and still more to hopefully come out of it. And believe it or not, the daughter of my second cousin once removed is only 300 meters away working in a letting office.
Well, so now, Adina and Jackie, we have the new project, the DNA Reunion Project, in which other people are going to be able to, you know, access the same kind of DNA testing. We understand you send them a kit, they take, you know, some sort of a swab, they send it back. And it's at the New York Center for Jewish History. I'm imagining you're feeling a compelling need in this moment to find as many Holocaust survivors as you can. We have a very spry 80-year-old Jackie on the line, but, you know, we're losing Holocaust survivors.
We are, and that's why we feel this mission should have happened yesterday. We are trying to get free commercial DNA kits in the hands of as many Holocaust survivors as we can. Second generation are also eligible. And I can already tell you, we've launched a week ago and we've received hundreds of submissions for kits. And we expect more and more every day. And reading these stories, these harrowing stories that people went through and why they're looking for their family and they see this as this last hope, I just can't even express to you in words how meaningful, how humbling, and how important it is.
Yeah. Well, we hear that in your voice. And Jackie.
Yes.
There are people who can't bear it, perhaps. Can't bear finding out truly what they lost. Now, everyone's going to do what they need to do. I'm sure you'd say that. But what would you say to people about the benefit of this?
I would say that, you know, it has its problems. There are pitfalls in it. And I personally said to myself very early on this day, I've got to accept the good, the bad, and the ugly. For me, knowing is so much more advantage than not knowing. And as I say, now knowing that I had a very large family, names, places, dates, and what have you, it sort of put so many bits of the puzzle on my life. For me, it's the best thing since sliced cheese.
And it sounds like there is a lot of good. I mean, do you have cousins now? I mean, is it?
Yes, I do. I've got one in Paris, one in Lyon, one in Israel, and one in St. Louis, Missouri. Absolutely amazing.
Well, we're going to link people up at herenow.org who want to have the same experience. Jackie Young, who was an infant when his mother was murdered in the Holocaust. He lived in a concentration camp before being adopted. Recently, he used DNA to solve the mysteries of his heritage. We've also been speaking with Adina Newman, a genetic genealogist, who's now working with the Center for Jewish History DNA Reunion Project, offering free DNA tests for more Holocaust survivors who want to know who their family was. How powerful. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.